Hello, and welcome to A Fearless Marriage, your source for the latest tips and advice to build a happy, successful marriage. I am Leslie Dorries, and I'm your host. Today, we're continuing the series, 10 Resolutions to Make Your Marriage Better This Year. This series is my way to support you in your efforts to improve your marriage. It is my sincere wish for each of you to have a healthy, fulfilling relationship. By tackling one resolution a month, you will have an action plan to bring about the positive change in your marriage that you desire. If you had followed the steps I talked about for resolution number one, be kind, you have brought your relationship back into balance. You have created fertile ground for moving on to resolution number two, be together. I know that when I first met my husband, we couldn't spend enough time together. At first, because we lived in separate cities, we talked on the phone for hours every night, and we had the phone bills to prove it. This was in the days before cell phones and emails. But once we were together, we developed rituals. On Friday nights, we'd get takeout and rent videos. On Sunday nights, we'd watch Star Trek: The Next Generation and have a glass of scotch. Those two things brought us together, and they were definite times that we planned on being together. So I'd like you to take a moment and think back to the early days of your relationship. What did the two of you do? How much time did you spend together? How did it make you feel about each other in your relationship? Okay. Take another moment and think about what you do together now. How much time do you spend as a couple today in your relationship? Dr. Willard Harley, in his book, His Needs, Her Needs, says a couple with a good relationship spends 15 hours of uninterrupted one-on-one time together per week. That's without the children, TV, cell phones, iPad, or any other distraction. It also doesn't include the time they spend sleeping. So what was your reaction to that? If you're like most of my couples, you're probably thinking, wow, that's a lot of time. That's more than 2 hours a day. We don't have that kind of time. But think about it. We all have 168 hours per week. All of us, the same amount of time. 15 hours is less than 10% of that total amount. We tell people what our priorities are by how we spend our time. Does your partner and marriage mean enough to you to devote 10% of your time to it? I know. It's really easy to lose sight of our relationships, especially in this day and age of two careers, children's activities, household chores, Facebook, Pinterest, reality TV, video, computer games, and sporting events. Whew, I'm tired just listening to it. But putting your marriage on the back burner happens because everything else demands and gets your attention. It's the squeaky wheel syndrome. If you don't work, you don't eat. Laundry needs to get done. Children want your time and attention. And besides, your marriage is okay. You don't have any major problems. But it won't stay that way. I don't know anything that thrives on neglect, and that includes our relationships. When marriages are put on autopilot, they are left to drift. And things that are left to drift don't drift together, they drift apart. This leads to that dreaded statement, I love my spouse, I'm just not in love with them anymore. It also leads to couples feeling like roommates, not lovers. There's a really simple cure for this. Spend time together. A colleague, Pat Love, gave a keynote at a conference I attended a few years back. She asked the audience what they thought the greatest risk to marriage was in today's world. She then held up her smartphone. Her point was that we now had instant and continuous access to new information, and our brains are wired to respond to new. If that new is pleasant, we actually get a dopamine release. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that acts on the pleasure center in our brains. It is one of the natural chemicals that allowed us to fall in love in the first place. So one way to recapture or hold on to that loving feeling is to do new things together as a couple. This can include some kind of travel. It could be something that you do local or something that maybe you go a little bit further away. But exploring interesting places in your area that you've never been to before and you don't have to take a lot of time to get to is one way to do it. Discovering new things together creates novel but shared experiences and memories. Or maybe you can start a hobby together. Maybe riding a bicycle or going hiking, taking up photography or gardening, whatever it might be. My husband and I actually have two hobbies. We do ballet and baseball. We call it the double B's. I've danced for most of my life, and several years ago, we had a company startup in our city. And that year, my husband asked me what I wanted from our anniversary present. And I told him, I'd like season tickets to the ballet. That was 15 years ago, and we're still going. We make it an event. We dress up, we go to dinner, we enjoy the ballet. Now, my husband would never have gone to the ballet by himself, but it's something that we do together. It's something that we enjoy. And we're also lucky enough to live in an area that has some great college baseball teams and some minor league teams, so that's something else that we do together. Or maybe you can take some lessons together. Maybe there's something one of you's always wanted to do. Learn how to cook. Or, as a couple of mine did, they wanted to take horseback riding lessons. And so they found that it took a half an hour to drive to the stables and a half an hour to come home. And this gave them time to talk. And so they would get in the car, they'd turn off the radio, they'd drive to the stables, they'd have this wonderful shared experience of learning how to ride, and then they'd get in the car and drive home. And this allowed them to really spend some quality time talking together and allowed them to have deeper conversations. When you spend this kind of time together, you increase the intimacy in your relationship. And by taking that time to be together, you can get past what I call informational exchange. This is the way most of us talk to our partners. What time are you coming home from work today? Are you going to be available to take Susie to her soccer game on Saturday afternoon? These are the things that we just have to get across just to live in our daily lives, but they don't really go much deeper than that. It takes at least 30 minutes for these deeper kinds of conversations to take place where you're really learning about what your partner thinks, feels, or believes about things. It could be current events, it could be future goals, it could be some kind of concern they have, but all of these things lead to a deeper understanding and connection, and they lead to the level where true intimacy is possible. Let's go back to Dr. Harley's suggestion of 15 hours of couple time a week and see where you might be able to find it. Take a look at your schedule and identify your time leaks. This is where you and your partner are in the same place, in your home, maybe in your living room, maybe in the entertainment room, but you're doing different things. One of you is on the computer, the other might be watching TV or reading a book. Or one of you goes to bed an hour before the other, whatever it might be. What you want to do is sit down and negotiate a way to find a half an hour to an hour together each day. Start out by maybe doing something, a parallel play or an activity together. So you might decide that you'll prepare and cook dinner together and maybe clean up after dinner. Or you might play a game, a card game, a board game, a game of darts, whatever it might be. You can even fold the laundry together or have a cup of coffee, beer, whatever your beverage of choice, on the porch. If you can, you might meet for lunch sometime during the week. Or better yet, go to bed at the same time. But whatever you decide, you make it easy time to be together. Once you've got that going, then you could do what any marriage coach worth their salt is going to tell you to do, and that's develop a weekly date night. In my particular case, I go a step further. I tell my couples that the point of a date night is to have fun, not to dissect the relationship or talk about the finances or the kids. You're not off the hook if you have money or childcare constraints. You can still have a date night without leaving the house. When I was growing up, I had a really good friend, and I was invited to spend the night at her house one Friday night. And we walked into the kitchen, and we were walking through the kitchen into the living room. And as I walked through, I happened to glance into the dining room. And I saw that the table was set with a linen tablecloth, china, crystal. There was a beautiful floral arrangement, and there were candlesticks on the table. And I looked at my friend, and I said, "Is it okay for me to be here tonight?" And my friend just started to laugh. She said, "Oh yeah, no problem. They do this every Friday night." And her parents' routine was that the mom would fix dinner. It was the same dinner for all five of them. She would feed the daughters first, and then they were supposed to go and entertain themselves while she and her husband had a nice, quiet, romantic dinner by themselves. And I remembered this, and when my children were little, I thought, this is a great way for my husband and I to connect. And so we did exactly the same thing. And this was in the days when VCRs, CDs, DVR players came out, and so we would rent a video for the kids. We'd put it on, and we'd say, "Okay, you need to stay here and watch the movie, and don't come in and bother Mommy and Daddy until the movie's over, or the house is on fire, or one of you is bleeding." But we just got into the habit of doing it, and that gave us a lot of time to be together. If, though, you do choose to go out, don't just go out for dinner. That might be a little too much pressure to start with. But you can go to a movie, but if you go to a movie, then you have to have some time, either go out for dessert or go out for coffee afterwards. You have to have some time to talk about it. One of the things that helps my clients in figuring out what to do on their date night is they create an activity jar. And so when one of them thinks of something they might like to do on a date night, they write it down on a slip of paper and put it in the date jar, the activity jar. And so when they're planning their date, all they have to do is go to the jar and see what's available. Another way to pick some things is to look through your local paper and see what events might be coming up. But anyway, anything that will get you to spend some good time together. After you do all this, you can take it to the next level and do couples-only vacations. This might be an evening at a local hotel, or it could even be a long weekend together. Again, if money or child care is an issue, then maybe you can work out a trade with the neighbors or with your friends, or try to arrange, sleepovers for each one of your children so you get some time to be by yourself. Whatever it is, you can get creative. You can make Italy come to your home, or you can recreate your honeymoon night, or you can recreate your first date. Anything that brings back those feelings of connection. Let your imagination run wild. Just see what you can come up with. Okay. Now's the time to get started on a specific plan to increase the time you and your spouse spend together. Take a moment and review the last week and identify how much time you and your spouse spent alone together. Remember that sleeping doesn't count. If this wasn't a normal week, then pick another week that was a little bit more typical. See how close you are to that 15-hour target. Also, rank how close you feel to your partner on a 1 to 5 scale. 1 means you're very disconnected, and 5 means that you feel pretty in tune with your partner. Go through each day and see where you can add time to be together. Identify how you want to spend that time and write it on the calendar. I know that doesn't sound very romantic or spontaneous, but it will make you accountable. Then sit down and choose a night for your date. Now, it doesn't have to be a Friday night or a Saturday night. There might be another time during the week that's better. And it actually doesn't even have to be at night. You might find that Saturday afternoon works best. But whatever it is, you want to pick the same time every week. Alternate who's in charge of planning it. Over the month, you'll each get 2 opportunities to do a date night. Use the activity jar if you're looking for ideas. Make this absolutely sacred time that will only be canceled for real emergencies. Every Sunday, sit down and evaluate your progress. Note what your challenges have been and work to find a solution. Try to add an additional hour together each week. Also, rank how close you feel to your partner as you spend more time together. Let me know how it's going. I'd love to have you share your success stories or challenges, so you could just click on the link below and let me know. I want to thank you for joining me today and letting me help you get your marriage to a great place. If you think someone you know could benefit from this information, please send them a link or share it on your social networking sites. Until next time, I'm Leslie Dorries, helping you resolve to have a fearless marriage.